Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for November the 9th. I'm Paul White. Good to have you with me in our Greek word studies through the New Testament. If I were to title today's podcast on an individual title based on what we're going to study, I'd probably be clever and say, ask this question, is grace always grace? I know it doesn't make a lot of sense, but what I mean in light of the fact that we're studying Greek words in the New Testament, is the word grace, as it appears in the Bible, always the word that you and I think of for the word grace? And that word, of course, is charis. We say grace, we're talking about favor. We're talking about the goodness of God being put on display in our lives. Some have even said it's the life of God being lived out through each of us. I think those are all good definitions. But to answer the question we posed, is grace always grace, in light of Greek word studies, particularly in light of King James translation, then the answer would be no. Grace is not always grace. Let me show you the example. The book of James has been criticized by those who have come into a knowledge of grace as not being gracious enough. Well, there's a pretty good foundation to that argument. One of the reasons why that argument has legs is the fact that James is not even written to Gentiles. It's written to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. But James doesn't even really preach much of Jesus. He only mentions Jesus one time. That's in chapter 2, verse 1. When he talks about not holding the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with partiality, the book certainly doesn't point people to Jesus. It's not a book where the spotlight is on Jesus. And if you want to look for grace in the book of James, the only time you're going to find charis is twice in one verse, James chapter 4, verse 6. But he gives more grace. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So even in James 4, 6, one of the uses of charis is actually from the Septuagint. James is quoting the book of Proverbs. So you could argue that only one time on his own does James use the word charis, and even in the one time he uses it, he's really only setting up a quote from the Septuagint where the word grace is used. Outside of that, there's no grace in James. Unless you're reading from the King James Version of the Bible. And then you would arrive at this verse in James chapter 1, verse 11. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. And I think the translators over the years finally realizing that maybe those two, that use of grace was confusing, have changed it. Here's the New King James of that same verse. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass, its flower fails, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade in his pursuits. Notice how they took the word grace and they changed it to beautiful appearance. Well, the reason why they did that, and you got to wonder why that took so long, is because we don't use that word in that way very much any longer, and the New Testament never uses it anywhere else again in that manner. The Greek word is eupropeia, eupropeia. Transliterated, which means spelled out into the English, that U, prep, would look like the word Europe, E-U, and then prep, paia, eupropeia. Why? Well, it means goodly appearance, shapeliness, beauty, comeliness, or as the New King James properly brought out, beautiful appearance. It's a word used a lot among Greek writers like Thucydides, Plato, Polybius, Plutarch, even the Septuagint uses eupropeia. The New Testament doesn't talk in that fashion. It does, however, use the root word of eupropeia, which is prepo. And prepo means to stand out, or to be eminent, or to fit, seemly, proper, suitable. All of these things would be prepo. And prepo appears several times. Jesus says it to John the Baptist in Matthew 3 when he says, suffer it to be so because it prepo us to fulfill all righteousness. It becomes us. It's seemly. It's the right thing to do. Paul, Ephesians 5:3, but fornication and uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as prepo saints, as becometh saints, as is suitable for saints. Or how about this one? I like this. Hebrews 2:10, for it became him, it prepo him, for whom are all things, by whom are all things, and bringing many sons to glory. It was suitable for Jesus to bring many sons to glory. It was comely. It was beautiful for Jesus to bring many sons to glory. That's an awesome one. So I hope we've tried to answer or helped answer the question, is grace always grace? It's a bit of a trick question. If you're using the King James Version, then the answer is a no. Grace is not always grace. Grace is not always charis. But in all the other instances of which you read the New Testament word grace, you are seeing the word charis, and it means what you think it means. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless.